Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. This side of the room did really well, guys. Great job. So, Jordan did that earlier, but I had just had to do it again. Thank you. Hey, I'm John Adams, one of the pastors here, and it is, did you know it's Easter Sunday? And Christ is risen from the dead, and he will come and change. He's changed my life. He can change your life. He's changing many of your lives in this church family. Thank you for being here. And we have been looking in the Gospel of John. We remember that last week, Pastor Tim brought us to and taught about Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Do you remember that chapter? John chapter 12 and 13 in your Bibles. If you look back and you saw that Jesus comes into Jerusalem and the crowds are thinking that Jesus is going to be this great earthly king to overthrow Rome. But he comes for a whole different reason. And he says to his disciples, now is my hour to be glorified, which he was talking about his death. It's through his humiliation, Tim reminded us, that he would be glorified and he would be ultimately exalted because it would be that way he would take our sins. I love one Christian summary of faith says this, that nothing else could pay for our sins except the death of the Son of God. There's nothing else that can save you, that can rescue you, to bring you into and restore you into relationship with God except for Christ's death. And he came, and we remember in John chapter 13 through 17, he's in the upper room and he's teaching his disciples and he celebrates the Passover and institutes what's called the Lord's Supper, which we take every week, except for on Easter, because there's too many of you. Then we come and see that in John chapter 18, that after Judas leaves and betrays Jesus, he's arrested, he's brought before ultimately Pontius Pilate, who sentences him to death, because the crowds put pressure on him and he kind of abdicated and said, okay, take him, crucify him. And he was crucified on the cross. He was completely innocent. He was God. Amen. And he died for you and me. But he didn't stay dead. Hallelujah to his name. This week, my little four-year-old granddaughter was in the back of the car and she was overhearing Melissa, her mom, talk to my wife, her grandma. She calls her Mimi. And so Lizanne, who's Mimi, she was talking about that whole idea of like Easter, you know, Sunday morning and coming over. And Charlotte said, Mimi, I'm coming to your house on Sunday because Jesus died. She's 4 years old. And Lizanne said, yeah. Yes, Charlotte, Jesus did die. And she said, Mimi, don't be sad. Jesus didn't stay dead. And hallelujah, Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead on the third day. And we see this in John chapter 20. The stone, thousands of pounds, was rolled away. And Jesus walks out of the tomb alive, having been dead for 3 days. And he conquered death and life. And so today we see him continuing to pursue his disciples. Where were they? Well, remember when he was arrested, you remember one of them, Judas, betrayed him. One of them, Peter, denied him. The rest of them just abandoned him, fled. They were cowards. They didn't want to be punished. And so they left him. Sometimes feels like, you know what, me. Sometimes my faith is not all that strong. And in those hard moments, wow, Lord, help me, strengthen me. And sometimes we flee or we just seem to like abandon God. But listen, if you are his, and he knows you as your his son or daughter, he will never abandon you. Amen. He, the living Lord, continues to never give up on his disciples, and he doesn't give up on his people. The risen Lord, we're going to see today, continues to reveal his love to his followers and never gives up on them. So we're going to see that today in John 21, and we're going to ask this question. I'd love to have you answer this in your mind and heart, is who is this risen Jesus? Who is this risen Jesus? So let's look at God's holy word. And as we remind you each week, this is the word of God. May it change our lives as the Spirit applies it to our hearts and minds. Verse 1 of John 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped from the work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen. Even after his resurrection, church, we see in this passage how Jesus continues to reveal himself. Look at verse 1. It's twice he says, it says Jesus revealed himself. And then in verse 14, it says this. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. It's so beautiful to see the way Jesus reveals himself to these disciples and even to us. And today we're going to look at two ways he reveals himself. And the first way is this. The risen Lord reveals his patience. You see, after Jesus' resurrection, the faithless disciples go up north to their hometown of Galilee. Now, there it was next to Galilee was the region, and there was the Sea of Galilee, which was called also the Sea of Tiberias. And it was about 70 miles north of Jerusalem, where Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead. Now, there was distance between Jesus and the disciples physically, but I think the distance, even emotionally, was greater. The disciples had to feel a lot of guilt and shame because they themselves had abandoned Jesus. And now they were stepping back and going back to what they knew, fishing. And Jesus comes, as he always does, and he does for you and me. He pursues his followers. He pursues his sons and daughters. And so he walks likely that 70 miles up north to Galilee. And there he continues to pursue them, as we see in this passage, and love them, even though they were kind of hard to love kind of people. Do you know this? That, and this is just a little secret I'm going to let you in on this morning. We're all kind of hard to love people because of our sin. Think about it. Every time that we don't fail to love God by obedience and obeying him and pursuing or trusting him, we're saying, God, I really don't want much of you. I want to do things my way. We're hard to love, and yet he continues, even this morning, to pursue us and come after us. And here we see how much he loves his disciples. Do you know who this risen Lord is? We see that in this passage, the first two hard to love disciples are Peter, who, remember, he didn't just deny Jesus one time, it was three times. And then we see Thomas, who is called Thomas the Twin in this passage. We know him often as Doubting Thomas. And in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29, we see that Thomas said, Jesus, I will believe you if I can touch your side and your hands, because I knew you were pierced through in your hands and your side. And Jesus said, touch me. And he did. And he said, what did Thomas say? Do you remember? Anyone? My Lord and my God. He realized at that moment, this was earlier, several days earlier, that he realized it was Jesus. And yet he went back to his old ways and forgot, you know, back to fishing. And we're not that unlike the disciples. We're much like them, with our doubts and our fears. We're hard to love at times. Jesus just keeps showing up again and again and again. Amen. He's so patient towards these guys and towards us. Every time that we sin and doing things our way instead of God's way, we are rebelling against God and his word, whether we realize it or not. And again, I'm blown away that Jesus has this patience with me and with many of you. Verse 3, he goes on to tell us that, again, that this faithless fishing crew caught what? Nothing. And then verse 4 says, look how patient Jesus is with these guys. He already knows the answer to the question he's going to ask him in verse 5. But he comes, and it says in verse 4, just as day was breaking. By the way, were you up this morning? Did you see the sky? I mean, it was amazing. What a resurrection sky. I was up kind of early. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. And I wonder how long he stood there. I think he stood there for, it's possible, a few hours. He's just standing there. And they were a few hundred yards off in the Sea of Galilee fishing. And can you imagine? He's just like patiently waiting and looking. And they're probably looking at him and say, who is that guy? He's just standing there. He's just looking at us. It goes on. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Isn't that crazy? Though he appeared to them twice after his resurrection, this is the third time, they still did not know or recognize him. And then it says, he comes and says, Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. This name, children, is a really special name because before his resurrection, Jesus would call his people like his sheep, his servants, his little flock. But here, after his resurrection, he calls his disciples by family names. He calls them brothers. And here in this passage, he uses the most tender, caring word in all the Bible. John, the apostle, uses it in his letters often. He says, children, which is really the word little children, my little guys. You remember when your kids were like little babies or little toddlers? Man, I even saw my grandkids come in today who are little toddlers, little babies, and you just want to hug them and kiss them and love on them. My dear, sweet children. That's the word. That's what Jesus, he asked this question and he already knows the answer. It's a bit rhetorical because he knows they hadn't caught any fish and they answered him so. And we see that Jesus himself begins to show him not just his patience, but then his power. And that's the second way he revealed himself to these disciples. The risen Lord reveals his power. You see, Peter had led the other six disciples, there's seven of them, to go fishing. And since they were little boys, they knew how to catch fish. They didn't use like hooks and bobbers and lures. They used nets. And they would throw nets in and they would know just the right time and the place. And they were expert fishermen. You would expect them to catch some fish. That's what they did. But we know they caught nothing. And verse 6 tells us the interesting way Jesus chooses to reveal his power to them. He said to them, verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. What's so interesting about this is 3 years earlier, right as Jesus was finishing meeting with these same fishermen and calling them to follow him as their rabbi, and then they followed him for 3.5 years, we see in Luke chapter 5 this same almost identical story. They've seen this before 3.5 years earlier. Remember, they're in the boat with Jesus in Luke 5. They fished all night long. They had caught how much? Nothing. And Jesus said, cast the net out on the other side. And they did, and they caught so many fish. In that story, it says the nets broke. And it says in Luke 5 that they were astonished by Jesus' power. Are you astonished by him, by his power? Do you know that in yourself you're really powerless? And he wants to show his never-failing love to you and me. I love this quote by this old Norwegian pastor named O. Hallesby. It says this, your helplessness is the most powerful plea which rises up to the tender Father heart of God. You see, today you guys are a pretty good looking people. You look nice out there. Uh-huh. But listen, you can make a lot of money, lead a business, do well in school. You can fix things. You can be pretty competent in all sorts of areas in your life. But one thing you cannot do is save yourself. You cannot bring yourself back into relationship with God because of your sin. There's only one who can bring you back. You're unable to produce the happiness your heart desires in your own efforts. You need someone bigger, stronger, and able to rescue you from your needy heart. So finally, in this passage, finally, the The disciples are ready to acknowledge their need for him and who he is. Do you see who Jesus is? Verse number 7. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now that disciple was, we know, John, who became an apostle, who actually wrote this gospel and the three letters at the end of the New Testament. And it goes on, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, this was not unlike Simon Peter, by the way, pretty impulsive. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, and they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Finally, Jesus had their attention. And so what does Jesus do? Now, if I was Jesus, probably if you were Jesus, you'd get back at them. You'd have a few choice words for them. Remember, they had all betrayed and abandoned Jesus. But what does he do? He uses the most tender word in the Bible, children. And he asks them a question, and then he cooks them a meal. He serves them. He loves them. He continues to pursue his followers with his love. So we see this in verse number 9. And when they got out of the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, which was probably an indicator this story is real. Why would that number show up? And although there was so many, the net was torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Again, this is now was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Who is this risen Jesus? You know, I love the story coming out of the NCAA tournament. Did you hear about how the Yale University basketball team was going to Spokane to play in part of the tournament? They won their first game, so they advanced. They were a surprise underdog team, but there they go. But apparently the Yale band could not travel with them. So the University of Idaho band heard about it, and they said, "We'll help out." And so what did they do? They learned the Yale fight song. They put on Yale garments and wore the Yale blue with a big Yale Y on their chest. And they cheered like crazy Yale fans. "Go Yale!" It was an amazing story. And one of the basketball team players for Yale, his name was Danny Wolf, told ESPN this: "For the University of Idaho band to come here and be able to play our fight song to the best of their ability, it was a very gracious thing they did. And we appreciate it." You know, this is a touching story. But how much more gracious is Jesus, who was God himself in heaven, and he left perfection among his Father and the Spirit, and he came to this earth and became fully human. He came and he said, "I'm going to come and I'm going to actually wear your colors." He became human just like us, though he was God. And he came not just to cheer us on, but to win the game, if you will. And he did it by dying on a cross and being raised from the dead on the third day. He came to die in our place and be raised to new life. And why would he do this? The verse right before our passage, our story today, is not only the purpose of why he came to die and be raised from the dead, but it's the purpose of the entire book of John. It's John 20:31. Look at it. It says this, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." Amen. That you may have life. He came so that you and I might have real life. Knowing him forever, forever at peace with him, as he restores us to relationship between ourselves and the Father that was separated because of our sin and our abandonment of him. Do you know that? That Jesus did this for you? Do you know how much God, who became human and died for you and was raised from the dead, how much he loves you? And yet so often we struggle with doubts about that, and that, you know, many of us do. It's possible today that you have many unanswered big questions about God and maybe even how this resurrection could happen. But even if you come here today and don't have perceived doubts, guess what? Because of our sin, we are saying, "God, I don't really trust you. I have a better plan. I'm going to operate in my own power and my own strength. I'm going to do kind of what I want." For example, how often do we do our jobs in our own strength and not relying on the Lord? This is basically what the disciples did. We want to make things happen on our own, but yet we struggle to pause and then say, rely on God. Failing to trust Jesus and his power is actually a failure to believe who he is. Do you understand why I've asked, who is this risen Lord? Are you believing who this Lord is? Are you trusting him in your life? He is God, the creator of all that exists. And he came and saved every person that looks to him in faith. And one day, friends, every knee, every person in the universe will bow their knee before him and say, "Jesus, you are Lord." Amen. Are you trusting Jesus as your God, as your Lord? You see, Jesus didn't just die to show off his power when he was raised from the dead. I love what C.S. Lewis, who was a British author, theologian, he wrote in his classic book, Mere Christianity, he wrote this. And he tells us why Jesus died. "It cost God nothing, so far as we know, to create nice things. But to convert rebellious wills cost him crucifixion." You see, Jesus' mission was to save rebellious people like me and you from our sins, and to acknowledge him in who he is, that he has loved us through his death and his resurrection. And he today, through his word, continues through his spirit to reveal himself to you and prove his love to you. Are your spiritual ears open? Are you hearing the word of God? Are you coming to him and to his life that he offers? Do you know the risen Lord? I'm not just talking about information about him. Look, many of you here today do know the Lord, but I know how easily, and I do too, it's so easy for us to wander. And I'm asking you today to say, "God, please increase my trust. Lord, please help me to see how patient you are and how powerless I am and how I need every moment, every day to more and more and more to trust you and not me. If you're here today and you've never trusted him, you've never put your faith in him, I want to encourage you, this is a critical moment in your life. Because Jesus is right here. He's through his word and his spirit, and he's saying, will you trust me? I died for you. I rose from the dead that you might have the life that you have been really looking for, and you might not even realize it. Will you put your faith in Jesus? Do you know the risen Lord? You see, again, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? It was because God's justice required it. Someone had to pay for my sins. And guess what? Someone had to pay for your sins. And so we celebrate that the perfect God-man, Jesus, did it. He finished all the work, and he's offering it to you. You can never earn it, deserve it, but you can receive it if you humble yourself and by simple faith and repentance turn to him. The risen Lord continues to reveal his love to us. Again and again and again, and he will never give up on us. Amen. So as the band comes back in, I want to invite you just to a moment of prayer as we come together, and and we're going to sing in just a moment. But this is a keep the focus. If you're a Christ follower, are you really grateful? I mean, again, some of you, we've been through so many Easters. Are you truly thankful for what Christ has done for you? I know in my heart, even this morning, early in the morning, Lord, help me with greater gratitude. And help me to trust in your power and say, Jesus, it is not about me. It is about you and you alone. I want to encourage you to do that in a moment as we sing, to just say, Lord, increase my gratitude, increase my trust in you and your power. And look, if you've never trusted Christ, you're here and you're investigating Jesus. You were invited maybe by a friend. You got here somehow. You're listening to this service. I want to encourage you. Look at Jesus came and died and rose again from the dead. It is a historical reality. And he did it for you to pay for your sins and to offer you and restore you to life with God, both now and for eternity. I want to encourage you to just pray a simple prayer with me now. So church, let's go ahead and pray. And be praying in your heart. The Spirit of God is at work. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much that you have saved our lives, that you've washed us white, that you've given us new life, that you came and died and rose again on the third day. Hallelujah. Lord, for Christ followers, including me today, please make us more grateful. Cause us to trust you more, to believe you, to put our hope in you and not other things. Help us, Lord. Build our faith. We need you. There's so many challenges. Give us help. And Lord, for those who are not yet Christ followers, would you just pray a prayer like this with me? I'm just going to pray a prayer if you'll join me in your heart and mind praying this. You can know God in a personal, real way and have his life and be his son or daughter. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I have sinned and I cannot restore a relationship with you, but you sent your son. You came and lived a perfect, sinless life. You died for me. You rose from the dead. I don't understand all the things of Christianity, but I do know you did this, and I trust you by faith, simple faith, that you offer life to all who believe in you, and now I receive you. I turn from my sins and my way of life as best I can, and I turn to you, trusting you and your work in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, if you prayed that prayer today, you came with someone, or you want to talk to one of our pastors or elders, or just please find someone today to tell them what you've done. And we'd love to help you on this journey of faith. We'd love to walk with you and get to know you. We thank God that He is giving new life to people today. And He's growing our life in Jesus for those of us who already know Him and have eternal life with God. Praise be His name. So let's, and with thanksgiving and joy, respond with singing and praise our great Lord Jesus.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.